changed a lot of the day-to-day routines in her house, with one thing in particular.
I clean constantly. I'm constantly taking the toys out of their mouths and putting them in the yuck bucket. And then the prices of it have all gone up so much. You know, you used to be able to buy a box of Clorox wipes for $2, and now it's like $6.
Like the vast majority of childcare providers, Gritter applied for statewide grants to offset the costs of those additional cleaning supplies, among other things. But she still felt the financial pressures of her business spill over into her personal life.
We had to, like, go back down to minimum payments on credit cards and try and pay as much as we could on, like, the electric bill, kind of not take the animals to the vet, skip some doctor's appointments, stuff like that.
Gritter isn't alone. A recent statewide survey showed that 3/4 of providers have seen their operating costs go up during the pandemic. And national data show that during the pandemic, just under half of childcare providers have taken on personal debt for their business expenses. Because even with help from grants, childcare margins remain razor thin.
If you break down to what we make hourly, it's not even minimum wage usually.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
For you, what has that looked like? Do you mind sharing?
Scary. I've been down there. I've been down to $3-4 an hour.
Bubbles. Just north of Indianapolis, Latrina Hobbs faces a similar challenge. She runs a home daycare for children with special needs and employs 3 additional teachers. So she's got to pay them first, plus the rent, utilities, food, cleaning supplies.
And then I get paid whatever I'm able to get paid after everything else is taken care of. Yeah, I mean, there are some times that I'm able to get paid and there are some times that I'm not. So it just depends.
And it's not like her teachers are making tons of money either.
Most of my teachers make about $10 an hour, and that's on a good range.
It is. The average hourly wage in Indiana for childcare workers is just around $10, with an annual salary of about $22,000 a year. And Black childcare workers face significant wage gaps, earning just 78 cents on the dollar compared to white childcare workers. Maureen Weber, the executive director of Early Learning Indiana, says the margins in the industry make it hard to keep staff on long term.
The math simply doesn't work, and it barely works in this industry in the best of times. It's pretty clear to me that the status quo is not working. We cannot attract the workforce that we need.
The fact is, early educators, who are disproportionately women of color, pay a sharp price for working with children even a few years younger than those in the K-12 system. The poverty rate for early educators in Indiana is almost 23%. That's double the statewide poverty rate, and 8 times the poverty rate of a K-12 teacher. But raising wages to make those jobs more appealing is often a challenge within those thin margins. I asked Latrina Hobbs if she would ever consider raising that $10 an hour wage for her assistant teachers.
Within my budget right now, no. Unfortunately, with taxes, insurance, and you know everything else, I will probably go under unless I raise tuition also.
And Hobbs, like many other providers in the state and country, says she feels wrong raising tuition during the pandemic with so many working families struggling. There are some policy proposals out there that would help people like Hobbs, including increasing public funding for early childhood education or creating cheaper ways for caregivers to earn a degree. But implementing that level of systemic change often requires data behind it.
One thing that has happened in this pandemic is that states have not, on balance, been able to answer questions about their early care and education workforce. They're not.
That's Leah Austin, Executive Director of the Center for the Study of Childcare Employment at UC Berkeley. Austin says improvement capacity comes down to access to good data.
You know, we have seen over the years, and absolutely in this crisis, that this lack of data just has allowed inequities to persist and has allowed disparities to go unseen.
For its part, Indiana has documented years of wage stagnation and workforce challenges in its childcare industry. But in one of the industry's most challenging years, there's limited legislation dedicated to addressing these issues. Lafayette's Amber Gritter wishes people understood that daycare workers are providing an essential service. And while additional financial support is huge, she's ultimately not in it for the money.
We're not making millions here. If you looked at my tax returns, you would see there's, oh, wow, why are you still doing this? But daycare providers do it because of the love of the kids. That's what it comes down to. We love our children like family, and we want to set them up for the best possible start to life.
For WFYI, I'm Priya Mahadevan.